I appreciate the good reading we had just a few moments ago. That's where our text comes from. We have a holiday coming up, the origin of which is sometimes a little clouded as to exactly when that came about, but it's a holiday that came about as a result of an act of Congress, and so we have it. And I like the holiday. I like holidays. A lot of times they're another day, but I like the ones where families get together. I just like the whole idea of people getting together as families. So I think those kind of holidays are especially nice ones. But now it's a holiday that we call Thanksgiving. In other words, the giving of thanks. And I don't think that there's any question about it, but as Christians, we ought to be thankful all the time, not just one time a year. So we're going to have a lesson today on the subject of being thankful. And Brother Bob read for us from three passages there in Colossians, two of which mention about being thankful. In verse 15, it's kind of generic, just be thankful. And verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So you could use either one of those as a good starting point for our sermon this morning. I want to point out at the very beginning that while we are giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ, it's God that has given us a number of things. Turn to Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 24 through 28. Acts 17, 24 through 28. Paul says, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needeth anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, even as some of your own poets have said, for we are also His children." This telling us that it's God who gives to all life and every good and perfect gift. And that's repeated in James chapter 1, verse 17, about how every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. So obviously, being thankful is right. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful to God. Back in Colossians again, only this time in chapter 4, you see how Paul, in writing this letter, interjects another occasion in verse 2, where he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." So once again, he mentions about thanksgiving. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now obviously, if we're rejoicing, we're going to be people who are showing appreciation, gratitude. We're going to be thankful. And so we will pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that you pray every single second of the day, but it means that you continue in prayer. It becomes part of your nature to pray. And when this happens, you're giving thanks. And again, this is God's will for you. As with many other right things, being thankful is good not only because it's right and holds the promise of God's favor for us personally, it's good because it can have an influence on others as well. Now, in order to talk about being thankful, we've got to approach this in a balanced way. So we've got to look at the other side of the coin for just a moment or two. And so I encourage you to turn over to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Because we're going to talk for just a moment or two about ingratitude. I wonder to myself sometimes if there is any more common sin than ingratitude. I think we will probably see it displayed in some way or another almost on a daily basis. And that's a sad thing. But it's common. So if something is common, well, it ought to be expected to be seen every so often, fairly often. But sometimes the simplest duties may seem to be the hardest thing to do. In Luke chapter 17, and you start with verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he, that's Jesus now, was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. I'm pretty sure that all of us are bothered by the fact that of the 10 men, one showed gratitude and thanksgiving to God. The other 9 just kept on their way. Was this ingratitude? Had they forgot everything else? Well, all that's entirely possible, isn't it? But it's hard to escape the fact that the other 9 did something different from what this man did. And it becomes rather easy to us to make a conclusion here as to which of these showed real gratitude and which were showing ingratitude. And I think it's painful to see this and how simple a matter it was to turn back for just a few moments and to express the thanksgiving, in this case to the Lord. But then oftentimes it might befall us to not show our appreciation for things as well. Are we guilty of ingratitude? How many times is it? Now I'm including myself in this. When something has come along, that some kind of a personal issue, a problem, a calamity happening to you, and you go to God in prayer for this. Oh, we'll say, well, yes, we do that. And that's right and proper, and we should do that. No argument there. But then what about after that? What about when the situation is resolved? Do we again turn to God with thanksgiving? Or do we just kind of let that slide? Maybe like the 9 over there. It's something to think about. The easiest thing to do sometimes might be the hardest thing, or the thing that sometimes is the easiest that's just kind of let go. What if God took back every blessing for which we were not truly grateful? What would it be like then? I'd say it would be quite different, wouldn't you? But however common it is, again, we come back to this, is there any greater sin than ingratitude? It doesn't seem like there is, really. You stop and think about it, because it has such an effect on others when they realize that you're not grateful. And it has an effect on you when you realize you haven't been grateful either. Now, God has never looked kindly on the one who's a complainer. Lots of examples of this. Turn to Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21, we want to look at verses 4 through 6. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 6. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. Well, they did that quite often, didn't they? Complain and murmur against God. Yeah, we understand that. But now look at verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. I'd say the Lord wasn't looking lightly on the complainer there. Yeah, that's the case, isn't it? And you wonder to yourself, where's the gratitude? Well, there's not any gratitude. Everything's being provided for you. You're doing fine. But they were complaining. They didn't appreciate what the Lord had done. They were not showing gratitude. And the easiest way not to show gratitude is to complain about things. You know, it's interesting what becomes a major calamity sometimes in our lives. We go down to the bedroom, let's say, and turn on the TV in the bedroom, and you discover it's not working, or the cable box there isn't hooked up, or whatever is wrong with it. You know, it's just not getting through, and there it is. And it's just a black screen, and people will act like the world has ended. My, and complain. Oh my goodness, complain about that. And what about all these other things, you know? What about everything else? Now here they are, and they're wandering in the wilderness, and it's taking some time. Did you notice it says that they became impatient first? Sounds like petulant children, doesn't it? But sometimes that's how they are acting, like petulant children, adults. And not showing any gratitude. Sometimes our gratitude is a result of not knowing or remembering what it's like to be without. I think there's a definite link between prosperity and ingratitude. Turn to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, we want to take a look at chapter 8, and verse 3. In chapter 8, verse 3, it says here, He humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now He's saying that to them in light of the things then that follow after this in verses 7 through 18. Of the things that are going to come your way, the highs and the lows and all of it. But you need to learn to be grateful for the things that you have. And sometimes, you know, it's hard. It's hard when you've ever had to do without. Now, I don't know everybody's background here. I know Martha's in my background. They're kind of similar. We both have lived out in the country. And when I mean in the country, I mean in the sticks. You know what I'm talking about? I mean out there. I mean out where they had to pump the sunshine in. You know, we were so far out of town, we had to hitchhike a ride, you know, to even get close to what was called civilization. We didn't have indoor plumbing. We were lucky. We had lights in the kitchen and the living room. There was a bulb up there, you know. And we had a plug-in in the kitchen where you could put either the coffee pot or the toaster or the radio or the refrigerator, which meant you unplugged and plugged things in quite often. And we had running water, though, in the house. I said we didn't. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. We had running water. The water ran as long as you could do this. We had plenty of water that ran in the house. And the bathroom, well, there was that tub in the kitchen floor. And that building out yonder. And heat. We had heat in the house. In the living room, but the further you got from the living room, colder it got. I can remember one day when it was so cold, I had a little table over between my bed and the outside wall. And I always kept a glass of water there because I didn't like to get up in the middle of the night, stumble around, beat my feet around. So I had a glass of water over there. And I remember one night when the glass of water froze. I appreciate everything we've got today. You know, those good old days, there wasn't a whole lot of good about that, you know. Nostalgia-wise, maybe. Things were simpler, sure. But I mean, if you've done without, you appreciate things. And I'm sitting there wondering about these Israelites. You know, you've done without your freedom. You've done without all this that you have now and God's protection over you every day. And now you've got it. And you need to learn. You need to learn that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we need to learn that as well today. I think it's good and great sometimes to see individuals who weren't raised in the church, raised out here somewhere in the wilderness of sin or in the wilderness of the denominations, whatever it is. And they come to learn the truth and obey the gospel. And it's really something to see those folks and how much they appreciate what they have. And then to see at the same time others who have never known anything different. And it's the ho-hum, I'm bored attitude toward the Word of God. Is it a lack of gratitude? Could be. Could be. It's something certainly to think about. Now for sure, and I know this, now this is a mistake. If you want to have an ungrateful child, you just give him everything he wants. And he won't appreciate a thing. Oh, wait, that works for adults too, by the way, not just a child. Nothing hurts quite like ingratitude. Turn to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. No appreciation, no gratitude, nothing. They just rejected him. What else? And not only is ingratitude itself a sin, turn to Romans chapter 1. Not only is ingratitude itself a sin, but it's kind of the root of other sins. It's on the road to other sins. It's where you kind of at the starting place of other sins. In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21, you see this kind of thing. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. And you follow down through the reading. And what you see there is just a circling around of sin. And the descent just gets deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And it starts out over here, though, with just not being thankful. And that leads to more and more and more things. And so I think that there are times whenever we need to just stop for a minute or two and perhaps examine ourselves and see if we really are grateful. And sometimes we need to do like the song that we sing so often. We just need to count our blessings and be grateful for the things that we have. And to be grateful to God and give thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ. But also, we find that there is a need for us to express our thankfulness. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 5. Well, there we go. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. I apologize for the typo there. Now, the thanksgiving to God is the fruit of our lips, and it's said to be a sacrifice of praise to God. It's not the only sacrifice of praise. One would look at this and they would think, oh, it's talking about prayer. That's right. It'd also be talking about singing. It could also be talking about the time in which we are discussing the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures. It could be also a time whenever we're explaining the things that we believe or why we believe. Many things can be come from the fruit of our lips and a sacrifice of praise to God. But it should be thanksgiving that's given to God. And then if it's unexpressed, and whether to God or to others, that's really no better than ingratitude. But how often do we make excuses? We didn't have the right time, it was an oversight, etc., etc., etc. And so the fruit of our lips, they don't happen. But we got this need where we need to do this. And in the Hebrews, they're trying to express that on us so that this will become part of ourselves and part of our praise to God, the sacrifice of God, thanksgiving that's given to God, and to be thankful. For I don't know if it's possible for us actually to be too thankful to God for anything. And so that should be the fruit of our lips. God is gracious to us, and we would pray that that grace that God gives to us has not been in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 10, it says there, by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace was toward me, that it did not prove vain, but I labored even more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You know, we don't want the grace of God to be in vain toward ourselves, but if we don't properly receive it and appreciate and express our gratitude for it, well, then we're not doing what we should do, so we need to consider that and be busy about doing this kind of thing and receiving and appreciating and expressing our gratitude for the grace that God has given to us. God, who is rich in grace, gives us all of these gifts and all of these opportunities, and he's also rich in mercy. All these things he extends toward us, and we can understand this and we appreciate this, and yet we should also be showing our thankfulness for this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. As with love, gratitude must be expressed with deeds as well as words. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. You know, expressing your love towards someone else. I'll tell this the way I heard it. There was this Scottish couple, Angus and Mary. And they've been married for a long time. And they're sitting there around the hearth, the fire going, you know, popping in one thing and another. Mary has her knitting. Angus is over there with a book. Mary looks up and she says, Angus, when we got married 20-some years ago, you told me that you loved me. And Angus says, I did. And Mary says, but you haven't told me since. And Angus says, when I change me mind, I'll let you know. Kind of a funny story. You know what the point is? He should have been doing this a little more often, right? We all understand that. You know, that's kind of a part of love, is expressing your love to the one that you do love. And then, if we're grateful and thankful, well, we should be expressing our thanks and our gratitude toward the one who's been so generous to us. It works just like love, you see. Ultimately, we show our gratitude to God. I think maybe probably the best way that we can do it. And it doesn't have to be done in some great and grand manner. But we can show our appreciation by the help that we give to others. Matthew chapter 25. Now I've got here verses 31 through 46. You can write those down and read them at your convenience. If, you know, I'm not going to read all of them in there, but you know, he's saying in here that when I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger, you invited me in, naked, that's verse 35, 36, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to him, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to even one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. We do great things, you know. If perhaps we do great things for some great person. Or we do great things if the camera was on us. And we do great things to be seen of others, you know, and that kind of thing. But how about when the camera's not on us? And it's not some great person. It's not a king or a governor or the mayor or some highfalutin individual. I held a meeting one time in Williams, Indiana. Little town out in the middle of nowhere. It's amazing to me the only problem Williams ever had was an overinflated opinion of themselves. I think sometimes the people, it was like, oh yeah, well, I'm from Williams. And it was like, you know, saying, well, I'm from Paris or something. I never could get that. But anyway. And so one day in the meeting there, there was an elderly lady and a gentleman there. I took it to be her son. He was probably about my age. She was looked to be in her 80s. And my age at that time. And I asked who these folks were and said, oh, well, that's Sister So-and-so. She's been a member here for years, but she doesn't get out much anymore. And I think that's her son. He's brought her out here. And the man that was telling me this, I thought, okay. And he said, oh, by the way, he's the mayor of Bedford. Now, Bedford was the biggest town around for us, 25,000 people and so on. And he said, I thought you might want to know that. I just said, okay. Didn't make any difference. Huh. He was going to eat from the same load of hay as everybody else. You know what I mean? But I know there's a lot of people that would think, oh, if something like this happened, or if it was someone else. You know, the lieutenant governor of Indiana at one time was a member of the Church of Christ from that same county. And I thought, well, that's nice. And if she showed up at services, should she have the chief seat? Should somebody come and be her footstool? Oh, well, we do things like, well, how about if it's somebody else? It's not the governor. Or not the mayor, lieutenant governor. Or not the mayor. Well, they'll just have, they're on their own. But now, you know, in this, Jesus is saying, when you do it to someone, even to the least, he said, it's like you're doing it to me. Don't pass up these opportunities. Because you're showing your thankfulness and your gratefulness when we have opportunities to do good to someone else. And don't ever think, oh, this is just too small of a thing. You know, I've been here now a little over 2 years. And I've got a note, and I've got a card, and I've got a letter. And there's been little, I've got more than that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I've received more things than that through the mail. But there's some that stand out because of some of the things that were said in them. And those things are going to last with me for a long time. And it was such a little thing. It was a sentence, not very long at all. Or perhaps it was just a card marking some note. You know, something of note. Those things mean, don't ever pass up the fact that a little thing, while it seems small in your eyes, can be huge in the eyes of others. And then we can be grateful for the opportunities that we have to share our time and our kindness and the appreciation that we have for God to others through these acts of kindness. Now, the effect of thanksgiving, we hurry along here. Being thankful is one way all of us can let our light shine. And it can have a powerful influence on all of those who are around us. If we go through life and everybody perceives that we're people who aren't thankful and aren't grateful, we're just not letting our light shine. Or if we are, it's a pretty dim one at that. So now, expressing our gratitude can mean a number of things. It could mean, number one there, expressing our gratitude to God for His blessings, or expressing our gratitude for others, for their kindness. But it can also mean talking to others of our gratitude for God's blessing. Turn over there to Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Mark chapter 5, verse 19. He did not let him, but he said to him, "Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. You go tell others about your gratitude." That's the great thing that you could do on this occasion. And let us not forget that that is something that we ought to do ourselves. Now, here's another thing. We can give thanks before meals in the presence of others. Acts chapter 27, verse 35. In the last month, my daughter told me that they were out for a meal at a restaurant, gave thanks at the meal, and someone remarked to them how good it was to see that families out in public having a meal together still gave thanks to God for their meal. Oh, that's a small thing. But look, it had some influence with others. And others may not come up and say anything, but they may be watching, they may see things, and they may appreciate that. We're letting our light shine as we show our appreciation and gratitude for the meal we're about to partake of. We can also show how being thankful gives peace of mind, and how we should have gratitude for what is right. That kind of reduces anxiety about what is wrong. Look over at Philippians chapter 4. I got the passages up there. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I was down in Florida. I can't remember what trip it was, and I would attend the Central Church on Silver Springs Boulevard there in Ocala. And I was there for the Bible study on Sunday morning. And they were studying from Philippians. They were studying from this section right here. And one of the elders of the congregation was teaching the Bible study that morning. Now, if you ask me in an hour, I could tell you his name, but I can't right now. But he's been an elder there as long as I was ever visiting there. And he said look at the very first part of verse 6, where it says, "Be anxious for nothing, and in everything by prayer and supplication." He says, you know what happens sometimes? He said, this is what we're guilty of. He says, I'm guilty of it too. But sometimes we got this a little bit transposed here, the wording. We're anxious about everything, and we don't go to God in prayer about much of anything. We kind of got it backwards. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, you go to God with prayer and thanksgiving. And so, you know, if we've got the peace of mind that it says there in verse 7, that's because, well, it's our gratitude and our about things that are right that reduces anxiety. Things we're told will work out for us. And we know that God is for us. He's not against us. And sometimes it might not always be the answers that we want, but it'll be the answers that God thinks that we need. God knows we need. It'll be the best thing for us. And, you know, that reduces the anxiety, provides the peace of mind. We can also draw others to the family of God by showing real thankfulness for the privilege of being God's children. If we're complaining about our brethren all the time, where's the thanksgiving? Where's the gratitude? Others are going to think, boy, that's the place I want to go. I want to go to the place where that person complains about all the time. Now, I don't think that's what's going to happen. Look at verse 1, 1 John 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. It's a great honor to be the children of God. And it's a great honor for my brother to be a child of God. And I ought to appreciate and be thankful for my brother who's a child of God. I'm thankful for my brethren. Well, that doesn't mean that my brethren never disappoint me. That doesn't mean that my brethren sometimes never, or they may sometimes fail to come up to the mark. That doesn't mean anything like that, but I appreciate my brethren. I'm thankful for my brethren. That's what it means, and that's what it should mean. That's how we should look at this. And not just, you know, see all the negatives and just be filled up with that all the time. And we can let it be known how much we appreciate our brethren in the Lord. There in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, as Paul starts out the letter, that's one of the first things that he does. Not just in the Philippian letter, I think you'll find it at the beginning of every letter, almost every letter he wrote, that he shows his thanksgiving and his appreciation for his brethren in the Lord. Not necessarily for everything that they're doing, but the fact that they're brethren in the Lord counts for something. And we should be thankful for that. And in doing so, our light shines before others. And also we can draw others toward the Lord when we show real thanksgiving for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Philippians. As I turn the pages of my Bible, when I see the book, I call it out. It's Ephesians. See, I'm heading the right way. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you have believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a good passage, but I really wanted verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You think about that. Every spiritual blessing. We show our thanksgiving for these spiritual blessings. How much we appreciate salvation. How much we appreciate the opportunity to worship God. How much we appreciate the promise of a home in heaven. We show our appreciation for all these things, our gratitude for all these things. Others will pick up on this. Others will be able to see that there's a difference in us if we do these things, and our light shines. Now, we're not supposed to shine our lights. You know, like that old thing, every little child picks up a flashlight for the first time. You know what they'll do, don't you? I guarantee it. They'll turn that thing on and they'll put it right in your eyes. Every time. My grandchildren, they still do that. And you've got to tell them, don't do that. That's not what it's for. But you're supposed to let that light shine around so you can see other things and get an idea of what's going on. That's how our light's supposed to work. We don't go up there and shine it in somebody's eyes and force it on them and blind them to everything else. But we let it shine like a light in the room that shows other things so you can see how things are and see your way around. Genuine thanksgiving. Take your songbooks, turn to the song's been selected. Genuine thanksgiving is a potent influence for good in our world today. And the reason it's a potent influence for good is because it seems to be so rare and so unexpected when it does actually happen. Like Daniel, we need to let our light shine by being openly grateful to God for His grace. You remember the story of Daniel? You remember all that. How there was the law that was passed that you could only pray to the statue of the king. And Daniel heard the same law. I'd say that he did. Daniel's kind of a high official in Babylon at the time. And Daniel went home, and as his custom was, three times a day, he'd open his windows
And he prayed to the God of heaven. Right there where everybody could see him. Waited every day. And now this law's in effect, so he kind of went over there and just brazenly, you know, I'll show you about that. Was that how it was? No. You know what it was with Daniel? He just did what he did every other day and every other time. He went over there, opened the windows, and prayed to the God of heaven. Now here's the interesting part of this. He was hauled in before the authorities, wasn't he? Why was he hauled in? Oh, well, he's not praying to that statue, O king, of you out there. How'd they know that? Was Daniel hollering out the window, hey, hey, I'm praying to the God of heaven now. No, he didn't do that. They saw him, though. And they knew what he was doing. They never did deny it. Simple matter, wasn't it? Is he letting his light shine? Yeah. Is he showing his thanksgiving and gratitude? That's exactly what he was doing. And was there a price to pay for it? Sure seemed like it, didn't it? But that never materialized, did it? God took care of him. God delivered him. Now, if we will also ourselves let our light shine, show our gratitude, and make a habit of expressing this in a real way to others, for what they do and for what God has done to us, we'll probably be surprised and amazed at all the benefits that come to others and to ourselves as well. The opportunity is yours today at this particular point in time to consider salvation to God. The opportunity is yours to think about Jesus Christ and how He died for your sins. And if you're thankful for that, and appreciate that and grateful for what He has done, then you'll believe in Him as the Son of God. And your gratitude will move you to being so thankful that you will confess Him before men. And He'll confess you before your Father who is in heaven. And that you'll repent of your sins. You'll be willing to turn from those things and practice them no more. Because you appreciate the fact that salvation has been extended toward you. And if you repent, you can find the forgiveness of sins that comes about through being baptized in water. And we'd like to extend an invitation to you then to show your gratitude for God and for His salvation through Jesus Christ and through the power of the gospel down to this very day, that you can become a child of God. And by your obedience to the gospel, your conversion to the Lord, what a great act of thanksgiving and gratitude that is. And you'll be letting your light shine because there will be others this very day that can see you obey God. Or perhaps can see you as one who was obedient to God but has fallen by the wayside and now is returning in gratitude and thanksgiving for an opportunity that these things be held against you no more. And others can see that. And what a lesson that would be. What an expression of thanksgiving. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, this is the right time. This is the right place. Why don't you come all together? We stand and sing.